Skype?
We're gonna shut them down.
America Online.
No,
AOL.
That's Messenger. That's Messenger.
Yeah,
that's
you have mail. Great.
When you tell the kids don't come downstairs because you're recording, they just call you. No.
Hey, can we have brownies?
It's all good. So Department of Labor took recovered at $1.5 million in backed wages from contract or for. What's up, people? Ryan Leary here from Work Defined. I'm going with it. I'm going with it.
As
this is the BARF. It is Sunday, the 31st of March. It is Easter. Happy
for
Easter.
Some. Yes.
For some. Yes, correct. For some.
For some. For some, not so much. But it's okay. Hey, no hate. No hate.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to everybody, right? So...
Happy holidays.
It's been a week, man. I'll tell you, there's a lot of stuff has happened. We have a lot of good stuff to talk about today. We had a lot of good conversations this week
100%.
As well, which was fun. A lot of different conversations. What we were just talking about, which is why we're laughing. But hey, you know, we're here for the news. They're not here for our stories. So let's get to it. What do you got?
All right, let me pitch you on a couple things here. Let's start off with Adam Newman. Makes a bid. That's what I thought of when I first read the article.
That wasn't a sound effect. That was actually.
No, that was not a drop. That wasn't a drop. He makes a bid. He's a former co-founder of WeWork.
Yeah.
And he was ousted from WeWork in 18. He kind of had a Jesus complex and all that other stuff. So, anywho, they're going through bankruptcy right now.
Yeah.
And so he is making a bid. I think he put a bid, a $500 million bid.
$500 million.
Could go up once they do due diligence and all the other stuff. So why? First of all, it's just crazy to me because in 18, pre-pandemic, it was go to the office, shared space. All that stuff made sense.
Mm-hmm.
Once you went through the pandemic, going back to work or having shared space, I'm not sure. That I mean, again, I think you can get the corporate lease. So I think you get not think. I know you can get space cheaper. So that makes sense because it's just we have an overabundance of inventory. So you can get so that part of the model that's going to be good. So if he was paying $25 a square foot before, he's going to be paying like $7. But can he recruit the companies and the people to that model? That's the thing that like is this a good bet, or is he just crazy and trying to get back to the things that he did before? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple things here. I think there is a path. I think it's got to look different. I don't see even myself who once had an office at co-working.
Right.
I don't have the want to actually do it anymore.
Right.
I think I did it because I felt like it was hip. It's hip. And I'm like, hey, let's go do it. I'll talk to people. I'll grab lunch.
Well,
I'll
you
work.
Also,
I'll do this.
Your household, you got a lot of it's Grand Central at some points where there's a lot coming and going.
But I don't have that feeling anymore. I don't want to do it. There's nothing stopping me. I just don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to get out and go. If I'm leaving the house, I want to do
work.
Something for me. Yeah. I want to do something for me, not to go to the office.
They're not going to let me podcast my boxers. That's the thing. Yeah. So
if I stood up now, we might be in trouble.
But see, the thing is is that a good bet? That's the thing we need to kind of keep track of over time is, okay, is that a good bet? Because of this return to office or RTO, or is it just he wants to go back to the heyday of when he made a lot of money with this idea, et cetera? So,
I think what we're going to find out is it's a little of I want to go back and finish what I started, but I don't know, whatever.
All right.
It is what it
is. Got? What do you got?
Okay. This one is an investment. Oh, I guess this could be funding, really, with Amazon. So Amazon, not sure if you followed this, they put another $2.85 billion into Anthropic. So that raises their total. Yeah, it raises their total to about $4 billion, which is a whole lot of money. And so why I like this, not so much for the investment, all that is obvious stuff, I think, at this juncture. We've recently been talking about degrees. Mm-hmm. And degrees that make sense versus degrees that have always made sense, but degrees that once have not made sense that right. are now kind of coming to the forefront. And we use you, I think, as the example with 100%. One of your many of philosophy yeah. or political science yeah. or whatever the hell you got. Yeah. Where at one point you get that, you're like, what am I going to do with this? So now what's happening is in this announcement and some of the other announcements around this is that philosophy degrees is kind of what I'm coining it. Philosophy degrees are the new STEM degrees.
Humanities.
Yeah.
Anything in the humanities.
Exactly.
It teaches you critical thought and criticism.
It basically
teaches you how to think. So.
Yes, and that's the top skill right now is what Anthropic is looking for, which are top thinkers that can solve problems. So a couple of things with this, and I don't know if it's in this story or another one. Oh, no, it is this one. So let me ask you, this is crazy. This is what's going to blow people's mind. It blew my mind. It may blow yours. The average meet – now, there's different tiers of talent, right? So in Silicon Valley with Anthropic and some of these other companies that are running that are battling with AI, tier one, the average median salary, $925K. Yeah, that's the median salary, right? That it can include bonuses, that it can include equity.
Yeah, stock, all that
the
stuff,
majority of tier one is between $1.5 million and $2 million total package. Most of them are fully guaranteed. Just to sign on. But the allure for all of this is just not salary. So this isn't where salary is not the driver. So what companies are doing now to win the war for talent, the candidates are also negotiating the ability to do their own thing, run their own project, create their own product, fully supported by the company, fully funded by the company, and it's their own project. And they own it, they run it. And that's part of these employment contracts. And so inside of some of these contracts, or at least what's being reported is, yes, that is true. That is happening. And that's how they're funding innovation within the company. But they
probably
first have to complete that initial task.
Yeah, they probably have the first right of refusal.
Exactly.
So my career builder years ago used to do a deal every year where they'd it was the best idea competition. I can't remember his name.
Right.
And they went through this deal, and it was like a startup competition.
Yep.
And the people that got funded, they spun that out, and they gave them, I don't know, $1 million or $5 million or whatever the bit was, is to go build it. But they had equity in it, and they had the first ride on any future rounds of funding.
Yeah.
It's just smart. I mean, again, this is just interacting with talent in a different way. You're basically saying, hey, listen, we understand that you've got other interests other than this interest.
Right.
Do this thing to help us, and we'll help you do this other thing that you care about. Like, I think you're going to see with Gen Z and Alpha, I just think you're going to see more of that. So, if you want the talent, you adapt.
Pay for it.
It gets me to this story about Crunchbase. By the way, that Newman story, if you want to look up the WeWork stuff, it's on a lot of websites, but I found it on CNBC. So you can go there and Google it or search for it there. So this one is not a newish story, but it's a really good add-on to what you just said. And it's called, it's VTO. It's paid VTO, volunteer time off. So there's a lot of companies that have been doing this. And I found this to be a job ad for Greenhouse that was on Greenhouse for Crunchbase. And is one of the benefits listed in the job ad. It's not only your paid time off and all that other stuff, but they pay you to volunteer. Like it doesn't take away from your sick days or from your other days, you know, holidays and whatnot. It doesn't take away from anything else. But if you want to volunteer and go to Habitat for Humanity or whatever the bit is, they'll pay you for that. You get paid, which again, I think with talent, I think this is across all generations.
Yeah.
If they want, because you used to have to, I will volunteer on the weekends or at night or whatever. But if you can take off, Thursday a month and go do something with a charity that you care about, like I see that as being very cool and a nice way to retain talent.
Yeah, when I was with Kinexa, we did that. So yep. we would do it. Sometimes they do it as a group,
right?
Which
right,
was right. Eh, you know whatever. Like it was fine. Like it was fun. It was a day out, and you got to do it with your group. But I think individually, if you could just take your day off, and which they did allow, right. that was more right. meaningful for me because
did
it was
they
something...
allow it or was did they pay for it?
No, no, was it was just you just off. Took your day. Yeah, you just you just took your day, and yeah. you went. Yeah, you do it monthly, and
but
so,
you didn't get paid. Did you did?
You got paid. Yeah, it didn't count against you.
Gotcha.
But it was when I did it. What I found the difference for me, anyhow, was when I did it with a group. I felt like okay, it was good. It was a company thing, but it was more
felt
the
like
company.
Work.
It, well, yeah. I was with the people at work. It was more the company.
I'm trying to shed these people.
The company had the banner. It was a promotion, you know.
I see you at work every day, man.
Yeah,
you have a cubicle next to me, dude. I don't want to see you at the.
Yeah, we went to a zoo and local zoo, and we did some work in cleaning up in an area and stuff like mm-hmm. that. But of course, we had the big banner, you know, all that crap. But when you go on your own.
Yeah,
I just go on my own. If I want to do a food bank or if I just want to go wherever, like I can do whatever I want. I don't need to tell anybody. I got it approved. I go and it's my own thing. And it just felt better to do it on my own. So yeah, no, I'm definitely 100% with that. All right. So the Department of Labor on a mission recovered another $1.5 million. Last week, I think I forget what the number was last week we were talking about. But this week. I found they so one and a half. Oh, well, let me shut that off.
That's Skype.
We're gonna shut that down.
America Online.
No, that's Messenger. That's Messenger.
Yeah,
that's
you have mail. Great.
When you tell the kids don't come downstairs because you're recording, they just call you. Yeah.
Hey, can we have brownies?
It's all good. So Department of Labor took recovered at $1.5 million in backed wages for contractors on California projects. So 35 companies were named in this lawsuit, and they've been ordered to pay back $35.5 million in backed wages for construction workers across 2,134 cases, which is the highest amount so far in any industry. So these are people that are companies that have taken projects from the state of California.
Right.
They've gone through, they've done their work, they haven't paid, whether it's overtime or...
Oh, they haven't paid their talent. They haven't paid their subcontractors.
They haven't paid their talent exactly, appropriately. And so, or maybe the job, they pulled the Trump on them, right? Oh, the job's done, but it's like, not amazing. You know, and yeah, so they got banged on that. And so they're paying
Dude,
out...
Getting money back. Getting money back from people is very difficult. I mean, the federal government with the IRS, they can get money back because they can do all. They can put liens on anything you own. They can get garnish your wages. Like they're the best. They're the best debt collector in the world. But I don't think the state of California has. It'd be really interesting to find out if they have that power. But like getting money back from people,
mm-hmm.
once it goes, they've already spent it. Like so now paying back.
If they want more contracts, I'm pretty sure.
That's you got some leverage there.
I'm pretty sure they're gonna do this,
Yeah.
All right.
So let me pitch this deal on the end of foreign language education. So
the end of foreign language
end of
education.
And I actually talked to a friend about this last night. She was telling me she wants her daughter to take Spanish. And I'm like, yeah, that's a waste of time. And she's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, there's an app for that. Like, you just turn on Google Translate. You don't have to learn languages. That's a horrible idea. You know, just have her learn how to prompt or ask questions or, you know, do other things. But learning a foreign language is dumb. So, anyhow, the article is in the Atlantic. So, go there and just search for end of foreign language. And for me, it's I took 8 years of Spanish. So, 4 in high school and 4 in college. And I know donde está el baño, where's the bathroom, dos cervezas, two beers, and hola, and maybe a couple other terms. That's it.
Yeah.
But I think the work-related story here is looking at the low-value task and how different applications are going to take over low-value tasks. We used to value foreign language. Oh, you know Russian or you know Mandarin or whatever. This, you know what? You don't need to learn Mandarin. You just need to be able to download an app that has, that you can then talk to and listen to in your own language. So I think the translation to work is looking at things that, you know, we valued at one point, but we don't value it as much because there's an app for it.
Right. So I'm not good at languages.
Sarcasm.
I've often, I have often thought, let's get the app, right? Let's do it and learn. And I think I might. I think your story convinced me to give it a shot. Not that your story was trying to convince me. But
you don't have to get it. I mean, the thing is, you don't have to learn it like all the things in the past that, where people would, you know, download things, listen to tapes and all that stuff. You don't have to do any of that anymore.
No.
It's a waste. When you're going to Italy, make sure you have Google Translate.
No.
And as people are talking in Italian, it translates it and you hear it in English. And then you say it in English and it comes out in Italian. Like,
Now, if I'm going to go sit at a table with leadership from around the world and I need to know Mandarin, different story. I'm not breaking out Google Translate. I get it.
They've got wearables for this now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where you can hear it and it plays in your ear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you hear it in English or you hear it in whatever language.
You hear it in whatever language, right. All right. Dillard's, you know Dillard's, right?
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
Dillard's. So they paid $70,000, not very much money, to a worker who claimed retaliation for reporting race and pregnancy bias, right? So again, I feel like week after week, I'm kind of I've started a trend for myself here. The PWFA, the Pregnancy Worker Fanersack, it's actually working. Like it's actually working, and the more I read on it, the more I search on it, the more Google serves it up to me, of course.
Right.
But I'm getting and so now I'm looking at all of these cases that are actually going through the PWFA and winning.
Well,
and winning, and this is one.
If you want to be depressed about that, here's how to be depressed about that. For everyone that reported that,
there's 100 that have not. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
So, and whenever you do an and, just remember, so it was race based and pregnancy based. It could have been or. So it could have been race based, or it could have been pregnancy based, or it could have been a combination of both.
Yeah.
And you're never going to really know. No one's going to ever really know. But just remember, whenever you hear "and," that's multivariable analysis.
Yeah,
multivariable.
Yeah. So this is one of those cases of the workers are assembling, right, and they're raising their voices, which they should.
Treat pregnant women well.
Yeah. So here's the story on this. So in 2020, the employee informed the new store manager. And so in 2020, this employee informed the new store manager about an existing pregnancy that she had, and that they had pregnancy related accommodations for her.
That's cool.
Which is fine. So Dillard's actually did accommodate. The manager rescinded those accommodations.
Oh, that's horrible.
And transferred the employee.
Horrible.
Right. So this isn't necessary. Well, it is Dillard's. It is Dillard's. Yes.
It's everywhere. But they
did make accommodations. They had her.
Well,
it's actually
federally. Well, they have
right,
to.
Right. Right.
So
right.
Let's not give them credit for doing stuff that they.
Well, no, but it's not. No, it's, but I want to be clear that they didn't just say no. Like they've had this. It was in.
Right.
It was in.
It's the manager.
The new manager that came in and said, "No, this is ridiculous." And they got rid of it. But Dillard's did ignore her complaints.
Ooh.
And that's where they wound up losing the case.
Well, what it screams to me is that's a person that's never had kids, the manager. They've never had kids. They just want the person to go back to work. It's, you know, like, hey, go back to work. Yeah, you don't need to feed. You don't need to pump. You don't need to do all that stuff. Whatever you're doing. Or you just, you know, if you're
Or it's just an untrained manager.
Pregnant, Yeah, great point. Could have been something like, could have been just, let's fix this in training. But the fact that they did their accommodations, good. They didn't follow the accommodations. That's, well,
not
I'm
good.
Glad they had to pay out.
Yeah.
All right. Today is World Backup Day, March 31st. Do not be a cautionary tale about data loss. All right. So this is spiceworks.com. Go and take a look at it, because there's all these horror stories of how bad people that lost their data. And again, sometime this week, just stop down for an hour or two and make sure that you have everything backed up. And the why this is coming up for me is it's a lot of remote work or hybrid work. Bring your own device, bring your own cloud, et cetera. It's never easy. Even if you have it set up on a system where it's doing itself, how often do you actually go and check to make sure it's backing up? So just sometime this week, do me a favor and just go do that. And that's it. World Backup Day.
How about World Pizza Day, World Pierogi Day? I mean, I don't need World Backup Day. I need a better World Day than that. I'm being honest with you.
World Donut Hole Day.
Great. Yeah. So big retail battling it out with bonuses. This is I found this one interesting. So it was funny because the whole thing was about Target with their bonuses and, you know, this and that and blah blah blah. And then that wasn't the interesting part to me. It was what got me to read. But then I got in there and it seems as though Walmart pays a lot of money.
Oh yeah.
To their managers.
I'd be retired right now.
Yeah, so basically the battle of bonuses is what mm-hmm. it's called, right? So essentially they're doubling down on the bonuses, which smart. Let me pull this up because I need to read this to you so you can tell me if I'm reading it wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. Target is doubling bonuses for salaried employees, the company mm-hmm. confirmed. The retailer said it will pay 100% of the employees' eligible 2023 bonuses. For the prior year, the company paid 50% of eligible correct. Bonus. So I understand what they're saying. They're not doubling the bonus.
Right.
They're just giving you your bonus. They're doubling what they actually paid out on the bonus.
Right.
But well, they're not people, doubling the bonus.
It's what I used to say about software. It's not a feature if people don't use the feature. It's not a benefit if people don't use the benefit. And in this case, it's not a bonus if people don't actually get to hit the bonus and be able to capitalize on the bonus. I think some of this is a mixture of it's really hard to find retail talent, especially at the management and executive level and store level. And like a good store manager can drive sales. They can impact sales. So
and that's where I'm going with this. So Walmart, in their quest to not get stuck anymore with not enough people, and especially at the managerial level, so they've boosted their bonus incentives, of course, right? Because that's what everyone's doing. But they've also raised the average the salaries of everybody. The average store manager now earns $128,000 annually. And
plus bonuses.
Yeah, plus bonuses. And they also get $20,000 up to $20,000 in stock grants
their
package, right? So with all those changes, right, that Walmart has added, the potential for a store manager at Walmart with the $20,000 in stock grants and the new pay scale of at least of an average of 128,000, the largest Walmart store managers are expected to earn over $400,000 annually.
Easy. Yeah. So when I worked at Walmart, as a store manager, you got a percent of sales. So not only did you get a good salary, and back then in the 80s and then early 90s, you got stock. So you could buy, it wasn't capped. So you could buy as much Walmart stock as you wanted to.
Yeah.
And they split back then, Walmart stock split every 2 years. So Like I still have a portfolio of Walmart stock that I haven't looked at in years. But the key back then was if you got to a big store and you could get a, and you could, the bonus was you could get a percentage, and it was still a small percent, like half a percent. Mm-hmm. But if you're pulling, you know, $5 million a week through the store, that, that stuff adds up in a big way really fast. But I've done the math and I would have retired at 40 if I would have stayed, which means that, basically I would have worked there for, 20 something years.
Yeah.
And I'd be done. But, you know, I think they're doing it for all the right reasons because they're, all these guys are competing Target, Walmart.
Absolutely.
They're competing with Amazon. So the, you know, that's what they're, their real competition is Amazon and other things like that. So, they've got to get the best talent at the highest level to make the best sales for the people that come into the store. Smart.
Yeah. So as you're walking through Walmart, don't laugh at these guys. They're laughing at you. Just, they know what they're doing.
100%. All right.
What do you got?
Congress bans staff use of Microsoft's AI Copilot. So this is at Axios.com. And if you watch the Super Bowl, they did an ad. The Microsoft did. I think that's where they launched Copilot. And what's interesting about this particular thing is the Office of Cybersecurity has deemed Microsoft Copilot application to be a risk to users due to the threat of leaking house data to non-house approved cloud services. So first of all, this is singling Microsoft and their Copilot out. And the question for me and for you and the audience is, will corporations follow this model and ban AI copilots for the same or similar reasons? Meaning, okay, if you're, Raytheon, you know, that's a defense contractor, you know, you're going to want everything to stay in your cloud. So if you're using Copilot, in this case, Microsoft's Copilot, and that's going, that's, that, that data is going into their cloud, going into their large language model, et cetera. So I just think it's, I think it's fascinating. Again, the government, they might be leading actually on this particular issue. And this is Congress. So Congress bans staff use. And the irony is I didn't read in the article that they banned congressmen women from it. They just banned the staffers. So which are the people, I mean, if you've ever been on the Hill, those are the people that do all the work anyhow. So it's probably pointless to actually ban Congress, but I'm really interested to see how corporations look at this and see this and say, hey, wait a minute, we haven't really thought about that in terms of where this data goes and whether or not there's secrets in that, et cetera. So anyhow, the government, this might be a case where the government is actually leading, not following. So we'll see.
Hmm. I like the leading and not following. Finally.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right. I'm going to mispronounce maybe Tarani. You know, Tarani. They do
Tranny?
They do the flavored, like pineapple, hazelnut, all that stuff.
Wouldn't know any of those things.
Yeah, you're no. Good.
Run,
you're
run
not.
With it.
You don't know the flavored syrups and stuff? No.
No.
Yeah. So they've gone. They're coming up on a century, age-wise, company-wise, without any layoffs at all.
Wow.
And so, yeah.
That means they have a lot of people that suck.
They have, well, no.
No, on seriously. Surface. That's a forest that's never had a fire.
Yeah.
That's not a good thing. That's horrible.
So here's the story. So there's a long article, and I'll post a link. I forget where I got this from. It was at HR Brew, I think it was. They wrote on it. It was interesting, and I was like, okay, so how are they accomplishing this, and what are they doing? So I can't speak to their people and all that stuff. That'll be just, you know.
Oh,
whatever.
I can.
Of course you can. But here's – so they – of course they've been faced with, you know, financial issues. Every company goes through
every
that.
10 years we go through a recession. Got
right.
It.
So how did they get through it? And here's what they're saying, not rocket science. They hire on the curve as opposed to they hire on the curve essentially just-in-time hiring is how I kind of related it. So you need the role, you bring it in, right? But how did they, so when they do that, they're looking at very specific things when they hire. They just don't hire people because they have good talent. So they've kind of gone the opposite way of a lot of the companies that you and I both know. Hey, they're amazing talent. Let's get them in. Let's find a spot for them. So they've had a hard and fast rule against that, where they hire for what they need, not what they potentially need. And then they hire backwards to fix where they need fixing.
All that makes sense in an up market. In a down market, you don't need those people.
So here's right. So what they do then is that what they do is they've trained their people from top down. They've trained their people to focus on the bottom line with non-financials. So to focus on non-financials. And so they've been successful at training their people to, when they're not selling or market's down or not shipping all the product, working on conversion rate, retention rates, customer sat, renewals, things like that is where they put their effort into, and they've been able to save their people.
Is this a publicly traded company?
I believe so, but I could be wrong.
It can't be.
I'll have to look that up for you and get back to you.
Yeah, I can't. I think shareholders, if they knew that, they would actually downgrade the stock.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just a horrible use of talent. I get the theory. It's like communism. If you ever read the Communist Manifesto or Karl Marx, on paper it's beautiful. In theory, it's beautiful. When it's in practice, not beautiful at all. And so, like, this is one of those things. Oh, we're never going to fire you. You never fire. Dude, you need to fire. There's some people, like, think of all the toxic people that are there. There's no way that you can hire 10
people.
No, this is
it's a private company.
Yeah, it has to be a private company.
Yeah.
Because they can't go public, because if they go public, Wall Street will basically, they'll break them.
But hey.
In my opinion, rightfully so.
That's fine. They're keeping their people, though. They're happy.
They're keeping their people, Ryan. They're also keeping the people that do sexual harassment, the thieves, the people that do all kinds of heinous shit at work.
Well, I'm not saying they're not firing those people.
They're
not going through layoffs.
Right. Well, but there's people in that mix that didn't do things for cause that are still horrible people. Like if you study force, if you study any force in the world, prior to contact, there would be fires, lightning strikes, and there would be fires, and they just burn an entire place down, right? That's actually good. You don't want a forest that's never had a fire. I mean, that's actually horrible. So we'll agree to disagree. I don't think it's a good thing. I think it's a horrible thing. You want to lessen the regrettable turnover, but turnover in and of itself is actually good, not bad. In my opinion.
No, I'm not arguing that turnover. No, I agree with that. I agree with everything you're saying. I don't think they're saying the opposite, because they have turnover, of course. They have voluntary
turnover. But
they
don't do layoffs. They don't do riffs.
In 100
years, they haven't done a riff.
Yeah.
That means, in my opinion, they've got a bunch of – not a bunch. They've got some people in that mix that made it through – that are still there, that are horrible people. I mean, everyone, of course. Well, every company has horrible people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the goal in recruiting is to lessen the number of horrible people that you hire.
Yeah. Well, they're still letting people go.
Yeah, but that's for cause.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, performance stuff. Yeah.
I'm talking about the people that fly under the radar of that stuff. I mean, if you're really savvy, you fly under the radar. You don't get fired for cause. It's like getting caught. Mm-hmm. Like, I tell my kids this all the time. Like, I'm not saying not do shit.
Yeah, but that happens.
I'm telling them, don't get caught.
Just don't get caught. You know?
Yeah. There's a bunch of idiots in jail that got caught. Just don't get caught. Anyhow, Boston University suggests replacing striking grad students with AI. In response to a grad student worker strike, school recommends that the staff
you know, that backfired. Get out of here.
This is so genius. The school recommends that the staff utilize generative AIs to give feedback or facilitate discussions on reading or assignments. This is from the Daily Beast.
Hell yeah.
Okay. So definitely look this up. So the whole time I'm reading this and they're talking about, I'm thinking about Allen Iverson and playoffs.
Just practice.
Or practice. So I do this bit. Like, we're talking about practice. We're talking about practice. Practice. Not the game. Not work. Practice. But I think it's interesting to think about when employers sees this idea of, is this a good idea? Again, when people strike, can they be replaced with some form of robot, form of technology, some form of AI, generative AI, or whatever? So that's what got me to think about it. So if you want to dig into that story, dailybeast.com.
I love that story. I love that story. Well, we're going to strike, all right?
Yeah, cool. Strike. We got AI for that.
Uh-huh. I know a guy.
Yeah.
All right. So Jake Paul. You know Jake Tyson. Paul. Good friends with Jake Paul. You had dinner with him a couple weeks ago.
Wait a minute. You're not talking about the internet guy.
No, I am.
That's... So you're talking about the guy that's going to box Mike Tyson in July.
Yes.
You are, aren't you?
Who do you think I was talking about?
So there's a guy in our industry named Jake Paul.
Oh, and you had dinner with him.
Well, I have had dinner with him, and his company was bought by Greenhouse.
Yeah, no. This is Jake Paul, the boxer, the internet dude and all
douchebag.
That. Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, he's been all over the UFC for not paying their people.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, that's kind of maybe the one commendable thing, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so check this out. The UFC was ordered to pay the fighters $335 million for allegedly suppressing their pay. So
wow,
with all that, yes, with all this crap Jake Paul's been doing and all now the lawsuit was filed a very long time ago.
Right.
Very long time ago.
Make its way.
It had to make its way. Let me see if I can see when this was, I forget when it was filed, but it was filed a long, long time ago and it had to make its way through. But with all the light and all the publicity that Jake Paul has given it, it's kind of, it started in 2014, 2015.
Decade-ish.
Yeah. So that money is going to be shared across roughly 1,200 current and former fighters.
Yeah.
So
it won't be a huge payday, but the fact that they're getting their money back and going forward, the UFC's been put on notice.
It's for fixing wages. Price fixing and wage fixing,
right?
So this sets the guardrails on competition, et cetera. So tie it back into work. Last September, a federal grand jury in Vegas returned an indictment against a healthcare staffing executive for allegedly conspiring to fix nurses' wages.
Oh, interesting.
And violated DOJ's antitrust laws, et cetera. Anyway, they had to pay. The exec who oversaw recruitment, hiring, retention, staffing, it was across three home health agencies. They had to repay $10 million.
It's a big number.
Yeah.
It's a big number.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I hope he gets his ass beat by Tyson in July.
If it's a real fight, he absolutely will.
And he's not wearing like a padded helmet or some stupid shit. I hope Tyson.
But I always go back to it. It just takes one lucky shot to catch him off guard and Tyson goes down.
100%. I like Tyson has a new brand of edibles. It's called Tyson Bites. Oh. And they're in the form of... I swear to God, and they're in the form of Evander Holyfield's ear.
No, really, really.
I swear to God. So if you're into edibles,
hilarious.
It's just some Tyson Bites, and I love Tyson. I don't give a shit whatever people say or whatever.
If you guys haven't
His
like
wheel's off.
watched his yeah like go look at some of the interviews he's given. Like, his wheel's off in a lot of spots, but he actually has, like, there was one, and I'll have to send it to you. Maybe I'll find it and post a link. It's on Instagram. It's probably everywhere. Where he's talking to a guy. I forget who it was. Oh, it was Shatner, William Shatner.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and, I see now. That's
yeah,
good.
Yeah. And he was talking about how he doesn't like that guy. Not Shatner.
What?
He doesn't like the fighter. He said, do you get nervous? This and that, around, you know, when you go to fight. And he says, I cry before fights.
That's right.
Because he doesn't like that person. That person hurts people. And he has to transform into this person get into the ring. And it's like there's probably a half a dozen or so of these interviews that I've watched. They're small snippets of the interview. But it's like, man, this guy is deep. Like he's had a life that we just don't.
Oh,
ever,
he's had 15 lifetimes.
Never
no.
have experienced.
No. The closest would be Lawrence Taylor, being dominant in a sport, like redefining a position, mm-hmm. and being wheels off. Yeah. So the fact that both of them were in New York at the same time, and they got together a lot. God only knows how fucking crazy that was. But if you haven't watched, Mike Tyson did, this is probably 5 years ago, he did a one-man show, and it was kind of a comedy bit, but he would tell his stories of his life.
Yeah.
And he would talk about, you know, all the cocaine he was doing, all this crazy shit. Like,
yeah.
He's just an interesting character. Life. Like,
yeah.
We might not have those types of characters going forward because it's so transparent. Everybody has a camera. So we should probably revel in the fact that they did live. And again, did he do some bad shit along the way? Yeah, of course.
Everybody has.
Yeah. If anybody's without sin, yeah, call me because I'd love to talk to you. So Stability AI CEO quits via Slack.
Okay.
So
tell me
when
more.
I first read it, and this guy's wheels off anyhow. He's been at a couple different places, and he's just wheels off. And so he wants to go do another AI gig because he doesn't believe in a way that they're doing AI, except for this on TechCrunch. So you can go and kind of see his – he thinks this centralized AI is a bad idea. And so more centralized AI, he wants to decentralize AI. Well, anyhow, all that aside, like those things are above my pay grade. Quitting over Slack. Just stop there. Like, it's like breaking up with somebody over text. Like, at least have the respect. That's how I would probably phrase it. I would say it differently if we were at a bar, but at least have the respect to have a town meeting, you know, town hall, have a Zoom call. Like, just let people know, hey, this is a hard decision for me. This is why I hate leaving the team, but you know, can't reconcile this with the new owners, etc. And this is why this is what I'm going to go on to do. Y'all have a good time, be good, etc. I'm out. But Slack message just seems like it just seems to me it seems shitty. So what do you think? So if you,
it's kind of like
this is the CEO. This isn't, you know, this is Bobby that works the call center desk. Like, you expect that shit to happen.
Yeah,
but this is the CEO.
Kind of like people walking into a Wendy's or a McDonald's to their boss and, you know, singing a song to quit or bringing in a band with them.
A boombox?
Yeah. Whatever. I mean, it's childish. It's high school.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Yo.
Get on.
All right. Acquisition news. Culture Amp, right? So Culture Amp is set to acquire a people analytics company that is called Orgnostic.
Did we talk about that last week?
We did.
Yeah.
Did we? Man, and I thought I had some breaking news.
Seriously. Mm. Yeah, we talked about that.
Did
last
I
week.
Talk about that or you talked about that?
Well, you and I are both the same. So, yes.
Well, but if you brought it up, that just means I didn't listen.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we do this? What's interesting about Orgnostic from a culture and perspective? That's not where, because we did talk about it last week. However, it might not have been that last week. Let me talk. It was. It was last week. But that's not the interesting thing. Now that you've looked at it and you've read about it, what do you think that's interesting about it? Let's just keep it.
So what I historically have not liked about any of these companies that were running through data, large data sets, and providing analytics or metrics to people and serving up static dashboards and things like this. What I never liked about that is it never had the ability to say, Mr. Leader, Mrs. Leader, here's what you can do.
Right.
Here's what actions. You need to do, right? Here are the recommendations. Here are some
It's just a dashboard.
Items.
A lot of that stuff, just dashboards, and dashboards don't tell you shit.
Yeah, it's just a dashboard. And the other thing is that it doesn't help with, I'm not sure that this will, but it also gets you so far away from real time, what's happening on your floor in real time, that it just almost seems counterintuitive to run yourself a dashboard. Now, again, that's all we had.
Right.
Got it. But now we have more. And I think this is what's interesting to me, because now this is going to take a tool that has or a solution that has a lot of legs and makes it better and more actionable for their clients.
Right. So this is what I said last week about it, is Orgnostic is it's newer technology, and it's multi-source, so it's a listening tool.
Right.
Whereas CultureAmp, pulse surveys, they're more on that side of things. And again, trying to fix the world of engagement and getting a sense of who's engaged or who's not engaged, flight risk, et cetera. Like that CultureAmp makes sense for a lot of reasons. What they bought in Orgnostic, in my opinion, is that a multi-source analysis platform to bring into what they already have. But you're right, on any of these things, until it can predict, so not only the action layer of, okay, here's what's happening now, it's also, okay, right around the corner, here is what's going to happen. So it's I think it's a great acquisition. I think it's smart of CultureAmp to buy new technology, but also, I mean, they could have built it, but why build it when you can go and buy brand new technology?
Yeah.
So good call.
Yeah, it's already there.
You should listen to our shows, right?
Yeah.
So
that's a big
I got one acquisition
right there.
No, it's actually here's what in the one last week it says.
You'll have
it plans
to make me feel
to.
Better.
I'm trying to. It says it says it plans to, and I went with it as plans to as is, because why would you ever announce it if you're not going to do it? So and you read it as is, so that's fine. All right, so getting hired transitions to Career Circle. Getting Hired equals the company called Getting Hired. I know it's hard to track some of this, is basically underrepresented talent. So think veterans, think the LGBT community, think whatever your definition of underrepresented, that's what they were there for, Getting Hired. Career Circle is also that. And so what this is, but Career Circle is owned by the Allegis Group, which is a $15 billion RPO and staffing company. So I think it's, this is like-minded people and buying like-minded kind of folks that they're trying to help. So I think this is a solid acquisition. Terms are not disclosed. That's always kind of a bit. But Allegis, it's going to help all the Allegis customers. So if you're an Allegis customer, you love this deal because it brings some talent pools together of underrepresented people to bear for you first, and then probably to other people after that. But
right.
Good call.
Can't beat it. All right. So
you want to talk about Orgnostic?
A CultureAmp acquired a company. Set to acquire. yeah, that was you got to pay more, much better attention. Anyhow, back to the issue at hand.
Do you have research? Are you, or do you have more acquisitions?
Yeah, no, I'm going to go through a research piece here. So,
okay, good. So we're on the R's, folks.
Yeah.
You're paying attention at home, the B, the A, and now we're
on
to
you're
the
going
R's.
In order? I'm just flip-flopping.
I always go in order.
All right. So you hire me because I'm a great worker. Post-hire, I disclose that I have a disability.
Okay.
Then the job role changes. The job description changes. What happens from there?
I call a lawyer. That's what I do. I know this is what I mean.
Yeah.
My best advice at this point.
Yeah.
Employment lawyer. This is why you have them. This is why they're there.
Well, that's exactly what happened.
I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, so employee was hired, disclosed a disability later, the job role change, et cetera, et cetera. So all of that is good. They did not refuse to make accommodations. They went through the interactive process of discussing accommodations. They did everything they needed to do. They documented everything, so on and so forth. The legal team felt that it wasn't enough.
Right.
So,
which means it wasn't enough.
Which means it probably wasn't enough. Right. 100%. But so they continue to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Well, anyhow, PPD, which is whatever company, whatever, PPD, sorry, development, they lost a judgment for $24 million.
Whoa!
So the case went to trial. This is a fast one. The case went to trial in 23, and the jury found the verdict for her name was Menninger, awarding her $24 million. Here's how the payout breaks down, because that seemed like a lot of money. Like, right. That's a lot of money for something that the company wasn't really fully at fault for.
Yeah,
right.
I mean,
they hired
the
person based on skill. Then it was disclosed. Now we're talking, when I say it was mental health and it was anxiety, I'm sure there were some other things, but this is what they were talking about.
Yeah.
Anyway, 1.56 million in back pay, 5.465 million in front pay, 5 million for past emotional distress, 2 million for future emotional distress, and $10 million in punitive damages. So what they were saying here is that
that's a reach for me. I'd appeal.
Right. So they have, and this is where it's at now. Yeah. It's an appeal, and I think they're going to win this.
That's just a jury punishing an employer just because it's easy to punish them.
And that was the point here. I think this is a bit over the top. Now, where and you guys can click through all, we'll have the link down there for you. But what was interesting here is that the employer didn't change the job description to affect the employee. Her role required her to present at sales meetings, to talk with people, to present in person, and they offer her the ability to pre-record presentations. But she didn't. The employee did not want to take questions live. She wanted them emailed to her. Like, at what point is this now impeding the ability of the employer to actually close business? Because you can't answer real time questions. You have to have them emailed. There's a 48-hour delay. It's a recorded video. There's got to be a limit.
Again, as a capitalist, this is real simple. You're there to help the business make money. Period. That's your value. This is a nonprofit. If it was a nonprofit, maybe I'd feel differently. Or if it was a government job, I might feel differently. But this is a corporation. Corporations, you only exist to make the company money, or you cease to be relevant. So, I mean, A, that's just a lot of money. The emotional duress, all that shit.
I automatically
don't believe any of that stuff. However, if there's something that the company did and that's absolutely wrong, they should pay. Like, I don't believe in companies getting all scot free. I also don't agree in just penalizing companies because you don't agree with them. So, no.
Yeah.
All right. The State of Workforce Skills Gap 2024 report. Skills gaps aren't widening, they're worsening. This is at springboard.com. They did a 1,000 respondents. I always like looking at the methodology of these reports to kind of see how they get baked. Mm-hmm. So it validates a whole lot of things that we already kind of know about skills. But if you need to make a business case for tech or for hires or whatever, here's four data points. 70% of leaders say there's a skills gap. Skills gaps are getting worse. Data analysis skills are high in demand. Companies are severely lacking in strategic thinking skills. So the report itself, really cool. If you're into skills gaps, like, again, skills gaps have always been around. So, like, if you think this is something new, like, oh my God, this is 2024 skills gaps. We've always had skills gaps. We had skills gaps when we were, when in the 1880s, there were skills gaps. So there was things that were happening that we had certain skills, and then all of a sudden a new technology or otherwise change happened, and we didn't have skills for that. This isn't new, but if you, I really, what I care about is if you're trying to make a case for, as a practitioner, you're trying to make a case for hire, or you're trying to make a case for technology to help you hire, these reports are they're super useful to pull data from and then say, okay, here's why this purchase is important. It'll help us narrow, never erase, narrow the skills gap. So springboard.com.
Okay. So I've got one more piece on research.
Okay.
For research.
What you got?
So EY's workplace report is out. And I want to get your thoughts on this. So are employers doing enough to communicate their interest in supporting LGBTQ plus workers?
Are they doing enough? Well, it depends on who you talk to. So again, if you talk to executives or comms, internally, they're going to say yes. Or maybe they'd say something politically correct, like you can always do more. If you talk to the audience or the underrepresented groups, it's night and day. There's so much more to learn, and there's so many different ways to communicate. And again, I think some of that comes down to being genuine and authentic, you know, and actually caring about those different groups of people. So no, I don't think we'd ever get to a point where the audience would say, check, we made it. I think because the more peel that onion, the more we're going to find out of other things that we didn't know. And then we'll have to create communication strategies around those things. So it's, to me, I don't think you'll ever get there. But it's a journey worth taking. I just don't think you'll ever reach the destination.
Yeah, I agree. No, I just wanted to get your take on that. So you can find that over at EY. They've got it listed there. Probably anywhere you Google it, you'll find it there as well.
So similar but different, 2024 Women's Workplace Experience Report. This was put on by the Muse, muse.com. It was conducted in February, again 1,000 respondents. And one of the stats, okay, so here I'll give you three stats. More than two-thirds of respondents, 67%. Let's see. Let me read it so that I get it right.
Go and play the Jeopardy theme.
All right. More than two-thirds of respondents think that women in their industry have a hard time getting promoted. It's a big number.
Yeah.
87% of respondents do not believe men and women receive the same reaction from managers when negotiating a salary increase.
Yeah.
I want to dig into that one in a second. Approximately 50% of female employees are unsure if they're being compensated equally to their male counterparts. So that's 50%. The tough part about that one is that's a transparency thing. That's a compensation transparency thing. But going back to the middle one, 87% of respondents don't believe that men and women receive the same. What I want to know about that in the future is, was that female to female? Was it female to male? Was it in person? Was it Zoom? Like, how did that negotiation happen? Mm-hmm. Like, what were some of the pieces of that? It sucks no matter what. If 87% if 87% of a population feels that something's that's
it's happening. Reality. Perception it's happening. Is reality at that point,
right? And so it sucks, and it's something we need to fix. But I want to know more about the dynamics that kind of led to that outcome. So it's a great study. And again, if you're really into this type of stuff, themuse.com, and this is their 2024 Women's Workplace Experience Report.
Yeah, I think so. When I read through that one, that's the key point that kind of stuck out to me was the negotiation piece there. And what the question that came to my mind, and I'd be curious really to learn more about this, is it hard on the negotiation because the male, if it's a male boss, is it intimidating? Is the stature of that person intimidating, right? That the man's behind the desk and the female is there trying to negotiate. I'm curious to see really what's driving that. on top of what you're saying.
I want to know that dynamic.
That. Yeah.
Because this could be a completely different bit if it's women negotiating with women.
Right.
Right. So, or basically men and women, let's say in this case, the female is the leader and men are negotiating, negotiating a salary increase and women are negotiating and they're being punished or they think that the men, again, that's kind of also a transparency issue as well.
Yeah.
I think a lot of this stuff you shine light on a lot of this stuff, it gets fixed.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
So take a look at it. That's a great report. Give you some good data in case you're interested in that stuff. I got one more on the R.
Yeah.
You ready? The state of misconduct at work in 2023. So FAMA.io, they did a research report for last year. So look back at all of 2023. And FAMA is a supporter of Work Defined, but I actually found this on my own. So this isn't anything that they sent to me. I found it and then dug into it. And I'm fascinated with the intersection of misconduct and candidates, because it really delved into the things that happen from a misconduct perspective in the recruiting process, and like harassment, sexual misconduct, tolerance, all kinds of ages of racism, all the isms, all thrown in there. And one of the stats is 1 in 10 candidates had misconduct issues. And again, that's just crazy to me. You're trying to recruit talent. And then this stuff creeps up. So, I mean, it had other great statistics. Go and take a look at the report, FAMA.io, Misconduct at Work 2023.
I've got some.
Are you ready? You ready for the
things. F? Yeah, good. I've got some money things to talk about here.
Cha-ching.
Yeah. So, all right. So I'll kick this one off. So I know you got a bunch, so we'll cycle through these, to get them through. But HR tech in the month of February, if you haven't already looked into, raised 400, well, out of these specific subset of companies, Rainey's raised $467 million in February.
Half a billion dollars.
I feel like that's a good number.
Well, do the math. I mean, just play that out, right? So that's $6 billion a year.
Yeah.
So $6 billion went into work tech. And that's probably not using the entire category of work tech. So it's probably much larger number than $6 billion.
Yeah. So,
but just in February. And it's hard to raise money right now. Like, it's almost impossible to raise money right now. So the fact that, you know, $500 million was raised in February is insane. I mean, if this is 2018, it's probably a low number for me, but it is in 2018.
Yeah, no, exactly. So let me go through some of these companies. One company got the lion's share here, Rain. They took $300 million of debt financing.
It's a big number.
Yeah, it's a big number, right? So Rain, which is similar to a lot of the companies that we know.
Sounds like a stripper name.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
It could, yeah. It does, you know, actually. Like, yeah.
Rain. Next on stage.
And that's funny because it's rain and money. That's what they do. Rain enables employees to access their earned wages instantly, right? By improving, improving retention, yada, yada, yada. All the stuff we know, right? Like daily pays of the world that do this. $300 million. That's followed up by Intensi, $64 million, which is real-time video analysis. To analyze environments. So to analyze the environment, the health and safety awareness.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, 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 all that stuff. And there's a bunch. Scribe is in here, Bright Plan, Upwards. So Upwards is a care company. There's another one in here that Hello Hi People Force. We made it in this one. So there's
a lot
a bunch
of them we covered on the BARF.
Yeah, Interview IA. Not AI, yep. IA. So they got the lowest end of the stick here. They've got 1.2 out of that.
I guarantee they did that number, they didn't capture everything. Because if 300 million went to one poor play, and it's 440 otherwise, they didn't capture everything. I mean, in the sense of there was other money, they just didn't capture all the categories.
Right.
In my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. No, I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Right? All right.
So, you've got a bunch, so I know we're well cycled through. Go ahead.
I'll stay with the theme Zayzoom, which lends money for fee for employees. This is a kind of an earned wage access play. And I think what we're learning with all of the funding that happens in that space is that's table stakes. That Gen Z and Alpha and basically all generations now think once you work something, you deserve to have that money. That float that employers used to count on of basically we're going to hold your money until payroll, which is 2 weeks later or a month or a week later or whatever, the float is no longer there. And I like that because it's a float, if you think about it, float is a way for finance the business. And so it's kind of your employer financing, your employees are financing you doing business, not the other way around. And right. So I like earned wage access plays. Mm-hmm. So I think it's basically if you don't play that game, you're not going to get the best talent. You're not going to be able to keep the best talent. So Zayzoon. Zay, Z-A-Y, Z-O-O-N, raised $34.5 million.
Okay.
Yeah, glow. All right, so do you have any more, or you want me to run through these others?
No, run through, because I put all my 14 in the one bucket.
As you should. Planeteer, that's spelled P-A-L-A-N-T-I-R.
We talked about them, too.
They raised MetaView. So these are alums, ex-Uber and Planeteer alums. The company's called MetaView, which is it's an AI and hiring play. They raised $7 million. And what was interesting when I read this, and I got this on techfundingnews.com, so if you want to look at that, is one of the statements in the press release is it saves teams at least 20 hours per hire. And when I read that, I thought it said 20 hours a week. In my brain, I thought, well, you know, here's a technology that's going to streamline shit, and it's going to save you 20 hours a week. I'm down. I'm down with that. But if you're carrying 30 recs and it's helping you 20 hours per rec, I got to know how many hours you're putting in every rec to see if that's actually really super helpful. I mean, 20 hours is 20 hours. I got that. But I'm not sure I don't know if I'd have led with that is I guess what I'm struggling with, unless it was a more significant number. So there's that, but good for them. Glad they raised money. It's hard to raise money right now. $7 million to MetaView. All right. Next one. Cloverleaf, which Ryan, they have been on the Use Case podcast.
They have.
We talked to Darren, and that's actually published. We talked to Derek 2 months ago.
Yeah.
He did not mention that he was doing a Series A. So this is Cloverleaf. That's right. 7.3 Series A extension. So that's a lot of money. And one of the things in the press release, this is on alphamaven.com. It does all kinds of funding news. And only 5% of employees have access to coaching platforms. So Cloverleaf is a coaching platform, a lot of AI. It's very cool. Go and listen to it. Seriously, it's a really good interview. And listen to Darren talk about kind of the bit of Cloverleaf. And again, it's just interesting to see that they raised money. And he'd never mentioned that was even something that they were doing. So
he's
good for them.
He's banned. We're taking his episode down.
No.
No love.
All right. Swedish startup BuddyWise. Not Budweiser, Buddy Wise. They raised 3.5 million euros, and it's a AI powered workplace safety and a platform. So basically, what they're doing is they're helping you with safety and understanding kind of what's going on. So one of the things I love. So go to BuddyWise.com, but co. So buddyise.co. Anyway, go there because this is actually really cool. On their website, you're going to see an iceberg. Scroll down on the right-hand side, and you'll see this iceberg. And it, above the waterline of the iceberg is 20 serious incidents per year. And below the waterline is 180,000 unseen, unsafe situations. So think, like, that's an iceberg, right? So just the tip of the iceberg is above, the you know, 20 serious incidents per year. And underneath that is a massive amount. So anything you can do to make that number lower with software or otherwise is huge. I mean, all the whatever you have a safety accident, stops productivity, morale, all the other stuff, you lose money. It goes straight to the bottom line. You just lost money. You can't get it back. So anyhow, that's a huge number and is a great graphic. So check it out.
Nice.
All right, the last one on funding. Let me double check. So the last one on funding that I thought we should talk about is borderless AI. Came out of stealth. I always love when people come out of stealth. So they come out of stealth, and borderless AI raised $27 million. Came out of an AI-powered employer of record. So so think of the things that do EOR type of related things. So when you read this, this is on huntscanlon.com. The platform automates the complexities of a global HR stack, such as payroll setup, time off requests, employee agreement generation, all kinds of things in onboarding. Like the list goes through essentially a lot of HR. And so the way that I looked at that and the way that I read it is, okay, look at your low value task as a human in HR and in recruiting. Look at the low value task and get as far away from them as possible. Just think strategically. If you're doing something that's low value, stop, do it, but understand that you're
right.
That technology is going to take that. So get away from that. And also consider where the humanity or where the humanness needs to be and plant yourself there.
Right.
In recruiting and in HR. Because I mean, $27 million, that's basically, I'm sure they're calling it a seed A, but they're coming out of stealth. And again, you can take a look at them. Their website also did a good job on the press release, but it's borderless AI, $27 million.
All right.
That's all I got, man. That's the F's.
All right. We're good. And that's the episode. We're done.
We did the barf. We barfed.
We got it all. So now you can go finish up your Easter egg hunts and enjoy and love your family and eat chocolate and whatever else you're having for dinner.
100%. How about it?
If you're still listening, please subscribe, like us, share with your friends and family and peers and everybody else. If you see us out there, say hello. We'll see you next time.